Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast for March 17th.
Because you can't game while you're driving.
That's right.
Here we go again.
You know, this is actually, well, introductions first. I'm Robert Digital. I'm here with Ender's Logic.
Hello. Hey, I am not this short. I'm sitting on a smaller chair than they do. I just happen to have the longest torso of the group, so I opted to go with the torso.
And you're saying that because we're actually videotaping this time.
Oh, yeah. For the first time, this is the first time you could see. You know, there's a lot of times when you listen to a podcast, and you're like, you always wonder what the people look like, and then you're like the first time I saw Evan from the PC Gamer podcast, I was like, he doesn't look anything. I thought he was going to be like an old 40s guy, but no.
He's like 40s?
Wow. Yeah, I thought he's so wise, but no, he's like a young dude.
So wise.
Yeah.
Wise,
he's the smartest out of
them
anyway. Yeah, I think so. So...
So anyway, we're in the middle of introductions. We didn't get to...
I don't like this guy. Fuck this guy.
Chad, a.k.a. Flopsy.
What up?
And, you know, when this episode airs, it's going to be a very special day, March 17th. Is that St. Patrick's Day?
I think it might be.
Is that why it's special?
No. It's special because 10 years ago, on that very day, I created a Steam account.
Wow. You hit the 10 year?
I'm going to hit
the decade. Speaking of which, I finally got a buddy of mine at work who's a hardcore console gamer to create a Steam account.
Yeah.
And purely to create... to play a game called the Guns 2
He wanted to play that?
Yeah. Well, because he's been talking to me for years about how he, you know, wants a certain type of game and more of a, almost a fighting game mechanic within a shooter framework.
I see.
And so I was telling him about Guns 2, and so he
like it?
Yeah, so far he's been liking it, but he doesn't have a PC that can run it right now.
I see. Yeah.
So he's been playing at work, or trying to.
That game is pretty popular.
Is it
really?
Yeah, I see a lot of people playing it, and I don't know why. But hey, if you're a console gamer, then you know, yeah, you might like shitty things. So,
wow,
bam, dude, so, and we're off.
he was watching a lot of videos, and there's a whole style devoted to that kind of gameplay called K style, where it's a lot of like jumping around and quick switching and stuff.
Because apparently, Korean?
Yeah, K-style, Korean style. Yeah. So, I don't know. I learned a lot about that this week, which made me kind of more interested in playing it again, but.
I'll make a Gundam style game.
I would try that game again. I would give it another shot. Like, there was something to it that I thought maybe it could be fun, but I'm just getting sick of the free to play model, to be honest here. Like, I'm kind of getting over it. I feel like all these free to play games are just designed to extract money from me.
But aren't that what games are designed for anyway?
It's different if you say, like, hey, $30, $40 up front, you got the game. Now knock yourself out. You know, I'm okay with that. But when you're just like, $2-$3 here, $5 there. You know, it's kind of like the slow hemorrhaging of money.
Well, we probably wouldn't have played all these games. That's the thing. That's why I like it. You get to taste, you know, put your toe in a bunch of waters to see which one's the right temperature.
What I think is the issue, the main issue is, when the only model was a $60 game, games were designed around that $60 model. Now that different models are coming out, they need to be designing games that fit the model. Like the MOBA model works really well with free to play because you get that glut of characters and skins and all those other things that you can microtransact all that stuff. The problem I'm having and the problem I think Bobby's having is that they are taking models that should be a $60 model and attaching it to a free to play model. And I think that's where his frustration's at. He wants the $30 or $40 game that he can unlock things instead of spending $5 here, $10 here, and so on. And I don't know. Well, I think I agree with
I mean,
you
I was totally happy with Insurgency because, you know.
I was too.
I paid up front. I'm enjoying the game.
Yeah.
That's cool. Maybe with shooters it doesn't work as well. But you guys have a big issue with the loadout thing. I think loadout's pretty fair. I mean, sometimes you get trounced. But, I mean, sometimes you get trounced in Insurgency.
So, I think models like that, I liked it. But they really have to have good quality matchmaking because... it's basically pay to win. Like, you can pay to get your XP boost. You can get pay to get, you know, your weapon slots upgrade and everything like that. I don't want to play with somebody that has paid to win. I want the pay to wins to play against each other, and I want the guys that are level 1 and 2 to play against each
basically,
other.
Basically, he has to play half as much as you do. That's the very best thing he can buy himself in that game.
Well,
right?
Here's the deal with those. Is I think it's becoming less of I think the model is defining the game now instead of the game defining the model.
Here.
I think they're saying, look, this is going to be free to play. We got to make money off this. We're going to have microtransactions. What decisions can we make in game design that are going to support this?
True. I agree.
But then you get into these weird things where you're playing Battlefield 4 and they have microtransactions with their game, but you already paid $60 for it, right?
That works in a weird way. You can get battle packs and you can unlock stuff. And yeah, Battlefield 4 isn't the ideal, but that's a game where you can get these different guns and there's very little difference. I mean, some could argue that there is, but I really don't think there's much of a difference.
You really need to get your money's worth $60 before you buy any of the add-ons, if that's the model that they're going with, is what I believe.
But okay, so this week we're going into MechWarrior and to...
Hawken.
That's a comparison we might not have done had they been...
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, because we would have spent, you know, a combined over $100.
But I think I know Bobby was frustrated about it, but I think... Yeah, I agree with you. I think it worked in this scenario because it's got enough variety that you can do the microtransaction style setup with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if it was like a single player experience or something like that, then you wouldn't want a free to play model. But I agree with you. Yeah. And I ended up spending money on Hawken. I didn't on MechWarrior.
How much did you spend?
I spent $10 on the $10 MC pack.
What'd you get?
To get that Rocketeer guy.
Oh, and we love him, which is great.
Yeah, well, I did my research. I knew the guy that I wanted to get. I could save up for it. You know, I could put play and save up for it, but I wanted to try it out. You know, we had this podcast coming out. Yeah. I wanted to try it out, and I had a lot of fun. But, you know, we can talk about it when we get to Hawken.
We can get into it, right?
Let's get into it right now. At the core of both those games, they're taking something that's very simplistic in nature, something we've done before, and that's just, you know, deathmatch or capture the flag or, you know, various iterations on that.
Domination.
Yeah. You're just basically running into a battlefield and killing each other. And after a while, that gets boring. So to compensate for that boredom, they have all these other things that they're putting in there. I don't know. I feel like I'm being too harsh right off the bat.
Well, inherently, mechs are fucking cool as shit. I mean, they're one of the coolest things. You got, like, ninjas and then mechs or something like that.
I think mechs are above ninjas for me.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, they're I haven't played... I was thinking... Remember that arcade game, Virtuon, with the two sticks... That you guys didn't never play this game.
No.
It was like one-on-one.
You're really
combat.
Dating yourself here.
Yeah, apparently it was like 90s.
Oh, is the one the VR one?
I don't. There was one that you sat down. There was a version that you sat down, but it was 1v1 mech combat with the dual stick. So you played it like a tank,
right?
And it had like dashes and with giant sword attacks that you could do and stuff like that. But that all this mech stuff brought me back to that Virtuon, which I had a blast playing in the arcade.
Cool. So let's compare the two. I say that if you're a modern day shooter, you like things like Call of Duty and Modern Warfare and stuff. You're going to probably, if you really like that, you're going to like Hawken more. If you like strategy more Counter-Strike, more Insurgency. But it's even slower than that.
Yeah.
And it's really slow. This is more like, I'm trying to think.
It's tank combat.
It's really tank combat, pretty much.
Like if you played World of Tanks or something like that, that's pretty much what this is.
And the learning curve is much more.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I think MechWarrior is kind of, it's more geared for somebody that really enjoys the metagame, like really wants to get in and do the nuts and bolts of the customization and
the literal nuts and bolts.
Yeah. I mean, you can get way down to the nitty gritty and it'll let you buy conflicting weapons and not tell you until after you have them.
Yeah.
Like you just have to know that you can't have a long range missile, thing with a short range missiles. You just can't fire your missiles and you go into battle. You know, you get the warning, but it doesn't give you a warning before you buy it. So that we both did the same problem.
Well, and they give you a lot of options when you're buying gear. And at what point is it too much? I mean, with games, at what point does a game stop being a game and just being kind of a chore?
Yeah. Or a hobby. I mean, some people really like to tinker. And this is a tinkering game.
Can we step back real quick and... Sorry, I bring up you real quick. But can we step back and just tell the viewers a little bit about each of the game before we get too far into it?
Sure.
So Hawken is free to play on Steam. But it is a WASD controls. It's similar to a shooter. It's more fast paced. Whereas MechWarrior, you have to go to the MechWarrior online site. It's not through Steam. It's also free to play. But it is set up like tank style, like if you play tank on Battlefield or anything else, where your WASD controls your feet movement and your mouse controls your head movement, and you got to kind of sync those up if you want to kind of go where you want to go. So you can shoot to the right and still walk forward. So I thought, to me, they're almost different genres. Because Hawken, to me, is a shooter. It's a first-person or third-person shooter. First-person. It's got that same controls. You can dash. You can do everything like that. Whereas, to me, MechWarrior was almost a strategy game.
Yeah.
Like, I was the big tank with the long-range missiles. I was shooting people I didn't even see. Like, the little guys would be running up, spotting these things, and I would just be sitting in the back of the map just shooting. I was basically a turret, but I had a lot of fun.
It felt like a lot more like realistic warfare to me as well. The other one is built for fun.
And this one is more. So Hawken is, what, 6v6? Up to 6v6?
Yeah, something like that.
With respawns, whereas MechWarrior is 12v12 with no respawns. Yep. When you die, you're done, and you're sitting around waiting.
But it's not one hit and you're dead. I mean, you can take some beat, especially in a heavy thing. At the last game that we just played right now, our last guy, he had a very good mech, the biggest, baddest one you could probably have. And the last team, the other team had like five dudes. And it took them 30 seconds to take him down. I mean, he was fucking beefy. And if there's one thing they got right in MechWarrior, it's when you're taking damage, you feel like, oh shit, I need to move now. You want to jump out of your mech because shit's falling, your arms are falling off, your legs all fucked up, you're hobbling. I brought this up with another game. I think it's Loadout. You can't run. Don't run. I'm learning that running is the last. There's no benefit because they run faster than you. You still have to turn around. Unless you have a fast guy. Yeah. If you have a fast guy, get out of there. That's easy. But you have a slow guy, you just got to stand and bang.
And that's kind of one of the things that I thought was cool with these mech games is when you're playing shooters, you know, they got the heavy. Like if you're playing TF2, they got the heavy and they got the scout. And there's a little difference there. But with these mechs, like, man, the small, the lightweights, they're going like three times as fast as the slow, heavy mechs.
Maybe even faster.
Yeah. The difference between the lights and the heavies are just so vast on it, which I thought was cool because they're built. Especially in MechWarrior, you have a specific role to do, and you need to do that role. And if you're not doing that role, then you're not helping the team. Like, the lightweights guys need to be running out, identifying scouting these people, and trying not to get hit. And they're adding their little damage, but that's not really what their job is. The big guys, you're just trying to get out of the way. You don't want to get in the way of these little guys. You're trying to just avoid them, and you're just trying to shoot people from long range.
Yeah, and I think the little guys, I mean, this is all speculation, but I think the little guys are for scouting, and then later on, taking out specific weapon systems and legs, maybe. Mm-hmm. This is all MechWarrior we're talking about here.
Well, that's an interesting mechanic in the game, is that you can target specific parts of a mech and disable those. And when you're building your mech, you can put certain things, like a laser weapon, on your right arm or your left arm. And if that part gets damaged in battle, then can you lose that ability? I know if you shoot out the legs, they can't move. But you can shoot out heat sinks, whatever they have equipped to different parts.
Yep.
So, a lot of strategy going into this game. Definitely more.
But that was all MechWarrior. Hawken is a totally different style. There's no body parts you can hit with Hawken. It's much faster paced. Those mechs are jumping around left and right with their dashes and everything like that.
It's like the Call of Duty of mech games.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not quite as fast paced. There is some pacing to it.
Well, what I'm saying is it's run and gun.
Although, Chad, it's funny because Chad, he figured out something that... Go ahead and explain it if you want.
So, I wasn't having a lot of fun with Hawken. I mean, I was having the scenery and all, I was really liking. The atmosphere I love in Hawken. But I wasn't having a whole lot of luck, success. Yeah, well, I'm not really a first person shooter, like, I'm not very good with that.
I'm starting to learn that I'm not either. I don't know what the
fuck. So I found the guy, it was a heavy, and all he did was long range missiles, and he's got this lock on mechanic. So I spent the $10 and bought him, and I ended up just being a mobile turret. I'd just bunker down and start shooting these long range missiles, and I was having a blast.
But the difference is, in Hawken, any mech can just hide and heal itself all the way up to full at any time. And there's healers on top of that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're doing this ambient damage, if you will.
Yeah.
And people are just hiding from you because you know, and then that was frustrating you because you weren't getting kills. But then you go over to Mech Warrior and you can't heal yourself at it, and there's no healers. So, and you were just fucking owning face.
Yeah.
And that was cool. You just post up. We're talking long range.
Yeah, across
the Because map. You don't have to find the guy in Met Warrior. If you're one of your teammates locks him, right, you can see him. So he was doing, and that's all you had. Literally, the smallest dude possible, a little gnat could come and destroy him close range because he couldn't. But
if you die in Met Warrior too, you can't come back.
Yeah.
And that's not the case in Hawken, right?
Yeah.
You can respawn. So you do spend a lot of time sitting around and waiting, spectating, waiting for the match to start. There's a lot of downtime in Mech Warrior.
I felt like the money that they gave me in Mech Warrior was more than enough.
Yeah.
It was great. Like,
as far as the free-to-play model, we played, 8 matches and then bought a mech, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but there are mechs that you can't buy. And I think these are mechs that are already attuned.
To me, it felt like Mech Warrior was definitely pay to win. Like, I felt like
Hawken, you would be owning if you would have bought one of the top ones.
Yeah.
You can buy a mech flat out.
Yeah.
They have two forms of currency. One of them you can pay for, and you can just buy mechs flat out.
The thing is, in Hawken, all of them you can buy if you play enough. Just from the play money.
Mm-hmm. And they don't.
In Mech Warrior, it wasn't like that. They had the elite ones or the hero ones, and those were you couldn't
buy only.
Yeah, those were buy only.
But what I'm saying is, you can buy the base model of that.
Probably.
But these are already fine tuned.
Yeah,
all the tinkering's been done. I think is what you're paying for. Basically, a service.
Yeah, you're right. It probably is. I don't know. We'd have to see. But
yeah,
that's what it does.
Because they have paint jobs and all that stuff.
But going back to the atmosphere, For 90% of the maps on Hawken, I thought they were just done really well.
Really well.
The scale is nice. The graphic intensity is nice, but you can still identify mechs easily. Mm-hmm. It feels like a kind of a wasteland a lot of times, or like a future fighting style.
Yeah. And not to say that there's no tinkering in that. There's some tinkering in that too.
Yeah.
You can definitely customize.
The maps, you like them graphically or?
I like the layout of them for the most part. I like the graphics. I thought the Hawken maps were nice.
Yeah.
As far as the Mech Warrior maps, they were very sparse. Like you were saying, it's a Cry Engine game.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't feel like it was a Cry Engine game. Like, it felt like the graphics just did not keep up.
This is one of the only games that an auto detect gave me middle things.
Yeah.
Maybe I should adjust them. I just trusted it.
It put me on middle, and I upped it to high, and I got no. I could probably put it on difference. Ultra.
See, I put everything on high, and it looked great to me. It looked better than Hawken. And what I really didn't like about Hawken was that they put invisible walls, invisible ceilings. Like, I would try to jump on or
you
over.
Did like or didn't like?
I did not like about Hawken. It's on the maps. There was like invisible walls or ceilings. Like, I would try to jump on or over a ledge and it would just block me for no apparent reason. My thrusters would just kick out. And they did put like sort of a blue electronic wall in front of things that were like barriers, but there were a lot of other places that I could not get up to.
It's like TF2. In TF2, there are barriers, but you never test them because you just know that the level ends there. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they didn't convey that as well in Hawken. Like, I still tried to get on ledges,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd hit it, and it'd be blue. I'd be like, oh. So it's more like they designed the level, and then designed the game around the level, as far as that goes. But they're still beautiful, and I really like the layout. Some of them are a little confusing. They're more maze-like, because there's multiple levels.
There's more verticality in Hawken.
A lot
of verticality.
Yeah, a ton.
Versus?
Almost none.
Almost none in Mech
Warrior. Just rocket jumping, you know.
Well, some had, like, a mountain or two, but it was more like...
We have to give it to Mech Warrior on the maps, though, because not only do they have, like, different layouts, but they also have ones with varying gravity, so you can jump higher or lower on them.
And
that
heat,
was cool.
And
I haven't
won.
Oh, and the heat.
The heat was
it's
also
all
factor.
About the nitty. It's all about the numbers in Mech Warrior.
Yeah.
It really is. So we were talking about the heat. In both games, you don't have ammo. You do have ammo in Mech Warrior, but it doesn't really come into play that much. But basically you can't go crazy because your heat goes up and then your mech shuts down if your heat. That's both.
Both games. Of them have that heat heat mechanic.
But in MechWarrior, you can be on a lava planet and your standard heat is already higher than it would be anywhere else. So you have to like take that into account. And you don't know what map you're going to go into until after you've already readied up. So you can't adjust your mech, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. So that was, you know, pretty cool. And then you have the low grav one. So, you know, as far as I like them both. They both had their. Because that last map that we played on MechWarrior, we said, oh, that was a good idea. There's a big mountain in the middle that nobody can go over. So it makes it a big donut. And what happened was our team won on the right, their team won on the right, and we were just circling each other. Then Chad first realized they were behind us. So we turned around, got decimated because they came up behind us. And then our team came over and it was too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, so I like the map layout of MechWarrior, but they were too sparse. There wasn't like, it felt like in MechWarrior there should be destruction just how the levels are made up. And while Hawken did have, you walk over things and they kind of crumble and stuff. They didn't have any of that kind of stuff
at all
in MechWarrior.
Hawken did have a setting to enable NVIDIA physics, which is a lot of those little things kind of chipping away. If you play the Batman game with like an NVIDIA card, you can see like how pieces of paper will like interact, like his cape is very interactive. If it like brushes past like the side of a wall or a pole, it'll kind of curve around it.
Huh.
You know, really small details like that. So
did you set that up?
Yeah, I enabled physics on it, and it looked great. But I don't know if MechWarrior Online had support for that.
So who wins? The MechWarrior mechs versus an army of the Hawken mechs? I think the Hawken mechs win because they're way faster.
Well, Hawken, you have to keep in mind respawn. Like, those MechWarrior mechs can
There's no respawns.
A ton of damage.
Yeah.
There's no way those Hawken ones could get through those. Those things were taking beat.
Yeah. Like, those little dudes, dude, I couldn't hit them either, though.
Yeah.
They were running circles, literal circles around me, and I'm turning too slow to keep up with them. So I would have to turn left to catch up with their right turn to get one shot off. So frustrating. But they're not doing any damage. It's like, beep.
The machine gun that the little one had, I'm convinced it doesn't actually do it. It's just a graphic that can do
those. It never overheats and it never,
Yeah.
I think I got a few kills with that guy, but yeah, it's got like 2,000 bullets and I would like drain the entire clip throughout the round and not do any damage hardly, but.
If you had four of those machine guns on a little dude, I think that would be good.
I don't know.
You'd be way down with ammo, dude. You carry so much ammo.
Maybe. I mean, you've got to strike a balance between heavy firepower and not overheating. And that was definitely on the low end of the firepower. You're never going to overheat. I don't think I ever even got above like 15%.
Wow.
But it didn't do any damage.
Were you doing both your abilities at once,
too? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a small laser, so it didn't really add much. That's why I switched to the different mech.
Yeah, so are you going to play these games more, and which one would you play over the other?
So, I didn't like either of them to start off with.
You like talking right off the bat, dude. And then you
hated
it.
I like the atmosphere. Like, right when you get in, it looks cool, the mechs are sweet, the maps are cool. So, like, right in, I was like, oh, this is cool. Yeah. And then I started playing, I started getting rocked, and I was like, oh, well, maybe this isn't so fun. Because right off the bat, you basically get one mech, and it's the CRT mech.
Which is a good mech.
Which is a decent mech, but if that playstyle's not you, then you're kind of just hosed. But once I switched to the Rocketeer, man, I was having a blast playing, just a lot of fun. And same thing with MechWarrior. I got into MechWarrior. I didn't like the graphics as much, but I liked all the like customization. So I thought, oh man, I could get into this.
You did a really good job of customizing that mech, man.
Yeah. And so I thought there would be some fun parts, and then we started playing, and I was like, man, this isn't great. But then we started getting our custom mechs, and then it got good again. So I will play both of them again. I liked Hawken better. I'd give Hawken like a 4-star and maybe MechWarrior like a 3.
You know what's funny about Chad's mech is like he said, hey guys, I'm just a guy that's going to do rockets. And then you see him and he looks exactly like what he said. He's literally a pair of legs and just silos of missiles. That's it. Hardly a little head in the middle. It's fucking awesome. Bobby?
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to play too much of them. or either of them too much anymore, but if I had to choose, I had more fun with MechWarrior Online, but I think that's because it was the second one I played, and I always have fun, or more fun, on the second one, no matter what the game is. Whenever we compare games, whatever I play last, I always like more. I think because they're so similar, I kind of get used to the style a little bit more. Mm. But I don't know. I don't see myself playing either of them too much.
So you didn't like Hawken at all?
It was all right, but
I mean, what'd you play? Three matches? Four matches?
No,
maybe?
I played for about two or three hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it just, Hawken got a lot more repetitive for me, and I didn't enjoy it as much.
I like Hawken way more. I might play that more. I think I'm over loadout, maybe. It's fun, too. I don't know.
Well, until that patch comes and they change a whole bunch of things around, there's really not much for... I mean, we've had every experience we can have in that game.
Yeah. And great game, by the way. Out of all the games, I'd probably say play loadout first if you're going to play one game. But out of these games, I'm not looking forward to playing Hawken more, actually.
Yeah,
but MechWarrior 2, like, I want to get into the nitty-gritty just a little bit.
The thing about MechWarrior is, it's like they throw you into the MechWarrior universe or whatever, and they expect you to know what the hell. They're not explaining what an AC-10 is or what a Stalker. Like, they've got six different versions of the Stalker, and they're all just named by different call signs, and you have to, like, figure this out. Like,
and they have different weapons, but you don't know what the weapons do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it'd be really... I could see how it would be really fun to be a little guy, identify the most dangerous weapons, and take out a weapon system on a big mech, and run away. Mm-hmm. That would, like... I did something for the team, you know? That'd be really cool.
So, like, if they could... Like, I was thinking about what would I like to change on these. In MechWarrior, that's... Give me some information. Yeah. Because you've got this catalog of stuff that's here. If you could tell me what the hell to do... Then I could take advantage of it, but right now it's like, I don't know what weapon to equip. I don't know what weapon's good, what weapon's not. How much more does a medium laser do than a light laser, than a heavy laser? Like, yeah, I don't know any of that.
Yeah. Final verdict, I say Hawken. I would say Hawken.
But you are giving a thumbs up to both of these?
Yeah, I like them both. I do. Okay. You have to be in the mood for one or the other, I think.
Yeah. It's more, to me, it was like the Battlefield versus Call of Duty thing.
Yeah.
Like Battlefield, this kind of slow plotting, greater goals, that matched up to me with MechWarrior versus the fast-paced kind of run and gun of Call of Duty, that's Hawken. So if you like Call of Duty, I would say play Hawken. If you like Battlefield, then I'd say give MechWarrior a try, is what I would say.
For sure.
It's hard to tell how many people are really playing these games, too. I mean, on Steam, you can tell how many people are playing Hawken, but...
Is it a good number?
I haven't checked. No. Yeah. But with MechWarrior, I'm really wondering, because I feel like that's kind of got name power. Like, people recognize that name. It's going to get a lot of people on that alone.
Yeah.
Definitely. But it came out, what, a year and a half ago, and now I'm sure it's on the downslope of...
You think so? No, because it was doing an alpha and beta like a year ago.
Huh.
Then. I played the beta probably half a year ago.
Here's when all the questions come and none of the answers.
Yeah. I don't think... Because you are also saying Hawken's been out for a year and it's got an early access on Steam.
I'm really sure it's been out.
I don't think it has.
Anyway.
Early access.
What you got?
Oh, so there, while we're in the mech vein...
Oh, yeah.
Earlier this week, just randomly, I played this game on Steam called Air Mech, which I think is also in early access right now. And it's kind of a top-down mech game where you pick your mech, and it's kind of all the mechs are not Transformers, but you can go to air mode to land mode, and so it's RTS based. So it's kind of got bases around, and you can craft guys. So it's kind of like Warcraft 3, where you have a hero class that can do things on top, but then you're also doing base stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried it out for a couple hours. It was fun. It kind of had a kind of cartoony graphics. It's free to play. I wouldn't recommend it, but it kind of has some things, and if you're into the RTS kind of genre, you could try it out. It doesn't quite hit RTS, and it doesn't quite hit top-down shooter. It kind of skirts in between the two.
We're gonna need a RTS correspondent.
Yeah, it's not gonna be me because man.
No, I mean like a fourth person. We just bring, like a little Asian dude. We bring in like every fourth episode.
A Korean guy that makes StarCraft. Yeah, And also, while we're talking about mechs, you guys know it didn't play Air Mech, right? You guys haven't tried it. It's free to play. Try it out. See what you guys think. I had never watched Pacific Rim, so this week while we were doing all the Mech Warrior and stuff, I watched Pacific Rim for the first time, and it was a lot of fun.
I really like
it. The animation is just amazing.
I watched it in 3D IMAX, and I was drunk. It was awesome. I had so much fun.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
The kind story, of movie you want to see on a big screen.
Yeah, the story leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
But
I mean, really about the story.
This is what I said. It's as good as a story you can tell about giant robots fighting giant monsters.
Well, the whole thing about the two drivers thing, that was just like, okay, you set that up to put conflict in there.
But the 600-foot monsters, let it play. Let it ride. Yeah, no, I know what you say.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like when somebody calls something out on a zombie movie. Yeah. And like, well, I do it. I'm like, well, that's unrealistic. But you're accepting zombies. It's cool.
Like you were saying earlier, Mech Warrior is way more realistic than Hawken. Yeah. I was like, well, these are mech combat games. What are we talking about here?
Another funny thing about the podcast and just life in general, I feel like I haven't said the word mech one time in the last 4 years, and then I've said it 47 times in the last 3 days. Yeah. But anyway, it's a cool name. Yeah. A word.
Mech. Yeah. Well, last week I beat South Park, Stick of Truth.
Do tell.
Yeah, tell us about that. We didn't get a chance to talk about it too much last week, but I'm glad I waited till I beat the game, because that game definitely delivers. I mean, I kept playing it wondering, if this was not South Park, would I still enjoy this game? And probably not. It wouldn't be nearly as fun or nearly as good. But, like, if you like South Park, and who doesn't, like, this game is perfect. It is exactly what it looks like. It's exactly what I expected. Like, it's...
But not in a bad way.
No, in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this looked great. I thought it looked like a good idea. I thought, hey, South Park could lend itself well to an RPG kind of game. And it did. It worked out really well. Like, I like a few little details about it. It's, you know, kids that are playing an RPG game. You've seen the episode where they're, like, playing, like, Game of Thrones or, like...
World of Warcraft.
Lord of the Rings or World of... Yeah, it incorporates all those things. So it's a bunch of kids playing this, so it's kind of like a fantasy world they're living in, and they get all dressed up, and, like, instead of poison, you know, in RPG games, there's always, like, a poison element.
Right.
That does, like, a damage over time. But in this, they call it gross out. And you can do it various ways by, like, throwing shit at them or throwing tampons. You know, it's South Park. It's it's so gross and offensive. But
who was the developer on this?
It was Obsidian.
Obsidian.
Oh, yeah. It was. Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard it feels like a nut, all their other Obsidian RPGs. So. Yeah.
And I guess what I didn't like was you could not change the controls, but I've heard that that's just how Obsidian
is
on the PC. Yeah. Yeah, you can't change the controls. I actually kind of like the controls on the Xbox controller better. When I hooked up the controller to my computer, kind of worked out a little bit better.
For an RPG, huh? Well, I guess I used to play all my RPGs that way.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed a little bit easier with that. But
so, is this game going to join the hallowed halls of the top 10 or top 5?
I don't know. It's definitely... I'd have to think about that, but it's definitely something I'll play again, like play the DLC for sure, and something I'll play.
Oh, there's
again.
Planned DLC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh. They've already got it in the menu. When you load the game up, it says like it has a area for DLC. Yeah, yeah, you know, and they'll probably release it soon. Most DLC, I think, it's most profitable to release it shortly after the main title releases.
God, I keep wondering if we're getting hoodwinked all the time. Like, hey, let's cut our 100% game into 90% or 80% and then sell 10% twice over.
See, a lot of gamers think that, and there is an element of it, but also it's more like we're going to make a 110% game and then sell the 90%. So you're getting a little extra than you would have gotten if they hadn't done it, but you're also getting a little less from the base package.
Mm-hmm. And they get for more the most time, part. And they get more time to... You know, fine-tune stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of times that DLC comes
You know
what,
a game
patch.
Like this, so you don't need to worry about the content. Like, I did a very thorough run of this. Because I love the story. I wanted to go, like, do all the side quests just to see what would happen. And I came in at about 17 hours for the whole game.
Wow.
So,
okay.
For an RPG,
that's not... No, well, I'm thinking, like, old-school Nintendo RPG. Like,
no, you're thinking different. Skyrim is what you're thinking.
That's 100.
Yeah.
100 hours.
So, wait, you pre-ordered this.
Mm-hmm.
$60 cost?
Yeah. And the pre-order deal was nothing great.
It was costumes or something like that?
Yeah, it was costumes that, like, I didn't even equip when I started playing, so it wasn't even...
And the whole thing is voice acted?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it is exactly.
That's
like
why. Sound. That's what cut down the.
Well, I was just curious. So you spent $60 on this. You're notorious for being a frugal gamer. Do you feel like you're happy to have spent that money and you'd do it again?
Oh yeah, I'm okay with it. Like it definitely. Like I said, it was exactly what I expected. It was exactly what I wanted.
DL Gaming Gold Star official.
Gold Star, but you know I give it a lot more credit. Because it is South Park. And because, like, I'm so familiar with the character and the universe, and everything's a callback and a reference to the episodes, and they work everything in there. And, like, you're just going through the game, like, oh my god, I can't believe that they did that. That's from, like, season 2. But, like, they get everything in there. It's good.
Hmm. Cool. What do we got next?
I've been playing a lot of games this week. I'll start off with one that we talked about a little bit last week. I got One Finger Death Punch.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and that game is a lot of fun. Like, the only way for me to describe it or compare it is it's like Guitar Hero. It's satisfying in that way where you're given this task and you try to complete it perfectly. And, I don't know. It's a hard game to sell to people.
But the payoff isn't audio. Like, in those games, like, it sounds awesome when you do it right. Mm-hmm. Like you're getting all these, you're getting some visual cues, but this is, you're getting visual rewards, I think. You know, you're playing it and it's like, when you do well, it gets crazier and crazier. The combo gets crazier. But I can't play it for too long. I can play it for about 45 minutes before my hand starts hurting.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of clicking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm still trying to like work my way through like the standard, like normal quest mode or whatever.
It's super long.
There's a lot.
There's so much. There's a lot. Yeah.
Are you complaining?
Well, it's just like...
How much was it?
It's like $4. It's
$4 when it came out, yeah. You know, I want to unlock all the special abilities, and they're really spread out on this super big map, so I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just going after these special abilities, pretty much.
Yeah. I showed some friends it, too. Like, I had them play it, and I don't think they liked it as much. I don't know. Mm. I don't think they...
Were they gamers?
Not really PC gamers. Sort of PC gamers, but... Yeah, I don't think... I even tried it with the controller, and it's a lot harder on the controller. Having the left and right click is the only two actions you can use are real easy, because it's just two fingers.
Yeah.
Putting that on buttons on, you know, X and B...
Oh, like, I'd do the shoulder buttons if I heard that.
It wouldn't let me change the controls. It's a very simplistic game, but...
So, did you... have you got to the... You played a bunch of the modes, right? There's a ton of different modes.
I've done a little bit of survival. Oh, yeah, within the quest mode.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where, like, the replay value comes. There's a bunch of different stuff you can do. So not can do, they give you. So there's one, like, it's called, like, old school Chinese kung fu movie mode or something like that. Okay. And everything's in that old, like, wacha! Old style, and all the sounds change. And you can't see any because it's all in black and white. Or it's more like orange. So there's one, and then there's, like, light sword mode, where you're carrying a light sword, and you're just fucking people up. That one's, like, that's a gimme. Like, you can't fuck that one up. Yeah.
It's the car mode in Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then there's, like, you can fail that, though. That's been done. Then there's the nunchuck mode, and...
There's the one where you deflect the weapons.
Oh, yeah, that one's cool. Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's a timer one, right?
Boss fight.
Yeah, that's... There's only one that I've had to play more than twice, and I had to play it like 6 times. I don't know what the fuck happened, but it was a time one. You have to beat up so many guys, and it was really hard, but I stuck to it.
But it's literally 2 buttons, right? There's no like activate your super or anything like that?
No. Supers are activated by number of kills that you get.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just do as good as you can, and then whatever happens, happens.
But it's like Guitar Hero, where you read the screen, you see, okay, I've got 4 guys on the left, 3 on the right, and I've got, and this one it needs 2 hits, and this one on the left needs a left and a right click. So you see this display, and then you process it in your brain, and you go, okay. And then you act it out in your hand. You go, okay, right click, left kick, right click. You know, you try to...
This might be one of the only games that, like, it's better for the spectator, because you're more looking at the combos.
Oh, gotcha.
And they're looking more at the
the
final product.
You're reading the screen, and you're reading certain information, and you're reacting to that, and you're trying to, interpret it as best you can with your hand, clicking on the mouse left and right, and you don't really have time to pay attention to the visual effects, even though they are pretty good.
Yep.
Except when they slow down and you can see the spine coming out their asshole or whatever it is.
And sometimes it'll be like, finish him, and you can just combo the shit out of the dude. It does this stuff a lot. Like, I sliced the dude's head in half diagonally. Like, it's like just cool, you know? With stick figures.
Yeah.
Well, like zombies where you don't feel anything for them.
Well worth the $4 then.
For sure. For totally. $4, yeah.
Totally. Yeah, but what about Monica? We were playing that the other night. How were you liking that one?
It's fun, man. I feel like...
That's the one that the art style is way out there.
Yeah, it's way out there.
I like the colors in that. Yeah. Something about the colors, it's all neon.
Yeah.
Neon and pixelated.
Yeah, yeah. Hyper-pixelated, like huge pixels. Like really big pixels. Like your character's probably made out of 12 pixels or something. And they all look kind of different somehow. And it's a lot of fun. There's strategy, and then there's strategy where you're picking what combination of thieves you want to go with. Mm-hmm. And, you know...
So it's a top-down map, and you've got to get all the coins in this map, and you have to avoid guards and dogs and all these other obstacles, and you can choose various characters to play as, like a pickpocket or a cleaner. And all these different characters have special abilities. And you can have up to four people. So we were playing just as two people. And we had some pretty good combos. But imagine doing that with three or four.
Yeah.
Like you can
clean up. Wouldn't it just make it easier and easier, though?
No, I think you have more people that can fuck up. It's one of those.
So if you fuck up once, the level's over?
No, shit goes crazy.
You have to deal with
it. It's kind of like Metal Gear Solid with the alerted guard where everybody just runs around tries to kill you.
Here's one of these things in the game where no matter how many times it happened, I kept laughing no matter what. When I died, you could get revived by your teammates, so Bobby would have to like sneak over and like be, and the sound effect, this is the best. I'm going to do my best impression. It's like,
that's pretty good impression actually,
like that. You're like, but I'm playing on the controller, and it's vibrating. It's vibrating the whole time. It makes it even more creepy. It's like,
it's like you're reanimating this dead, lumpy corpse. Yeah, or something. It's a really weird sound effect.
So last night, I'm playing as the gentleman. He can put on a costume, and people don't fuck with it. He's almost OP, I think. Anyway, I'm just walking through the place, getting all the money. People don't care. Apparently, if you have a tuxedo on, you can grab all the money you want. So I get caught somehow, and there are four dudes who chase me.
With the OPP character can't be caught, you got caught.
Well, lasers.
Oh, okay.
Lasers don't give shits about tuxedos.
Apparently not.
Yeah, so I'm running, and I get beat up in a bush, right? And I get beat to shit, and I'm dead. And then I come back to life, and I was like, what the fuck? Somehow the gentleman could go back to life. Bobby's like, no, you died in the bush I was hiding in. So he just got to work as soon as I died. He's like,
it's a funny game. Like the sound is a part I like too. Like it's got funny sound effects and it's in it's all in French.
Yeah,
and on the
God. It's not guard. It's God.
Yeah, they all say funny things.
How much is this? Is this worth picking up?
It was in the Humble Bundle last time around, so really cheap. You can find it on sale all the time for like $250, or it'll probably be in the Humble Bundle.
You gotta get it, dude. It's a game for us to be playing for three player.
For sure. Yeah, it is a great co-op game. And I had a lot of trouble with this game the first time I played it, like months and months ago. I don't know why, but I was really struggling with it, and now it just seems so much easier.
It's not to be played, it's because I was there.
Yeah, maybe.
It's not to be played single player.
Yeah, with like random strangers, it's pretty difficult.
It threw me back towards Miami Hotline.
It's not. Well, I guess from the view,
only graphically
and graphically and
graphically, it might be like that. But it's not that kind of animation either. Like it's such a polished, pixelated look. It's almost like futuristic retro. It's hard to describe. Have you seen screenshots?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched some videos.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying it kind of brought me back to that. Because it was the top down, and you're kind of like sneaking around, but killing people.
Yeah. Hotline is just fucking kill.
Yeah.
Kill and slaughter.
Really fast-paced. This one, you have to definitely, depending on what you play as. Like, I was playing as the cleaner a lot, and he can sneak up behind people and knock them out. So we were using that. And then as we progressed later in through the levels, it became a lot better using the hacker, because he can go to like computer terminals or outlets and send these bugs that deactivate various.
Well, those levels that we were on, I think, were set up for him. You know?
Yeah.
You have to. You can pick your character based on the level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you go through story mode, like, you unlock these characters. So, like, it starts off, you're just the locksmith, and you're like, well, I'm going to need, I got a buddy who's a cleaner, I better bust him out of jail or something. So the level is, like, going, you have to get him out of somewhere. But you go get him, and then you have to bust the hacker out of, like, some other location.
Yeah. I felt like the OP combo, at least in the levels that we're in right now, is the hacker with the gentleman. Gentlemen, the only thing you can stop is lasers and, like, motion sensors, because people don't give shit. So all the guards, you just walk by them, get all the money, and he's hacking away. And I don't know how many times I was about to hit a laser, and there's guys chasing me or something, and the laser just disappears because he hacked it way over here, and the bug goes through the system. It happened so many times, it seemed like, I was like, wow. But it's totally random where the bug goes, and I'd just be running, I'm like, oh no, a laser! Pew! Yeah, you know, keep running.
Yeah, it is a fun game. Do you think the graphics work for it, or do you think it'd be better if it was more of like a realistic thing? Do you think it even needs that?
Once you get used to it and start to understand, I really don't like you playing the cleaner.
Oh, cleaner.
I do, because it works for the game. But you look like most of the guards.
Yeah.
So many times I mistaked you for a guard, mm-hmm. or vice versa. I'd be like, yeah. And then we can't hit it with it.
Yeah. And that's what becomes difficult playing with more people, is keeping track of everyone actually becomes a lot harder. Because I've played with four people, and it gets messy. So maybe three people is a magic number. Team right here.
Most of the top scores were turned in by three people.
I'll look it up. I'll see how much it is right now.
Cool. All right. Well, I got a few more things to talk about, games I've been playing, but what have you guys been playing?
Mostly these mech games, and then Hearthstone just can't leave it. Hearthstone is the great...
Well, that did have some news this week. It went live.
Oh, was it? Did it?
It's not in beta anymore?
It went live. They added a... It's not really a quest, but they added a thing that if you get 3 wins in a mode, you get a mount in WoW, which is nice because...
Did you go check it out?
I haven't played WoW in a couple weeks, but I will, and I'll get this mount, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
it looks really good.
Yeah.
But I'm still like, God, I wish they had done more work on it, because I don't think the rarity is balanced at all. The fact that, like, maybe Flame Strike is a common just fucks Arena just hard. And some of these commons that they have, and then you can have epics that are completely worthless, and it's just
that's how all trading card games are, though. You know,
not really. Like
you need to have powerful commons.
But here's the thing: in every other mode like that, in every other draft, you're drafting against people. In this, you're sitting there drafting by yourself.
Right.
So you can literally get screwed and have no choice versus Magic or whatever, where you're drafting against people, and it really comes down to skill on how well you draft.
No, for sure. The biggest problem in the game is that some heroes are just much better at Arena than others.
And, well, let's be honest, Mage is much better.
Mage.
And they might as well call it Mage Stone. If you play Arena, if you get past 4 wins in Arena, you're going to play a Mage 80% of the time.
Yeah, they do really well because of the Flame Strike and because of the hero ability. But, so that's why I was talking to you about, like, maybe they could put a reward modifier in for the lesser played, the rogues, the warlocks,
and
the
maybe shaman. They did, because I played the rogue in Arena and got 2 legendaries and 3 epics, 5 of my 30 cards.
And you did really well.
Yeah, I did. I did decent.
6 and 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
And Bobby hates the game.
No, I don't hate it. I just haven't played it in so long. I feel like that it would take a little bit of time for me to get back into it. And
They haven't changed a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But still, like, when I watch you guys play, I'm like, ooh, what's that card? What's that card? Yeah. What's that deal? Huh?
And you never got into Arena, really. And that's the bulk of the game for me.
Yeah, me too. I actually did play a few Arenas. I'm actually, like, 1 win deep in an Arena. Like, from, like, a month ago.
See, when that happens to me, as soon as I get home, I gotta finish it. Like, I have an active Arena.
I'm, like, scared to lose it, though, so I don't know. I think it was with the Paladin, but, yeah, maybe I'll pick that back.
This is Bobby's MO. He gets into a game, and then he gets 1 win, and then I have 100% win ratio.
Undefeated. Game, so.
Undefeated. Reigning champion.
I retire.
Yeah, what else have we been playing?
What else have I been playing?
That's pretty much it.
That's the bulk of it.
Did you play more Mighty Quest for Epic Loot this week?
Like once or something.
Okay.
At first, I was like, I can't wait to get back. And then after a while, you guys weren't into it, so it wasn't a whole lot to talk about.
So that game kind of tailed off for you guys?
Yeah, I didn't play it this week. He hasn't played it at all.
Wow,
that was pretty quick.
I do want to play it. It's just that there's so many games out there.
And that goes back to the free-to-play model. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't be playing any of these games without this free-to-play model. Like,
sure. Or if you won the lottery, man. What if you had more money than you knew what to do with? And you could just buy all the games you want.
Life would turn into a game. I wouldn't play games anymore, I don't think.
Okay. Hopefully, you know what? I brought this up on another episode, but I won't.
Going out and drinking.
Yeah. I remember the website now. It's like Steam Database or something like that, where you can put in your Steam account, and it will tell you how many hours you've played, how many games you've bought, and, like, you know, when you signed up and stuff. So I've played 3,000 hours on Steam total. And I would have thought more.
I would have thought more, too.
Yeah, well, maybe it's when they just started counting hours. That's only been happening for a couple years. But my total value of games is like 10 grand. Like 10 and a half grand. And that's like retail, so obviously I got stuff on sale. And I have...
What do you think you really spent? Like four?
Maybe half that. Yeah. Maybe like five grand. A lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
To be honest. But
a lot of money for a lot of fun, though.
Yeah. And out of like the 860-something games that I have not played about 500 of them.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So
Really?
So I don't know why you guys are saying you need free-to-play to play these games. Like, I don't know. There's lots of games out there that you can buy and not play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's doing the opposite of free-to-play. He's doing the buy-to-not-play model. I didn't know there was a model like that.
Is free-to-play really free to play? I mean, is it really free?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay, well, what's a free-to-play game?
They've got that Penny Arcade. Have you seen that Penny Arcade cartoon? It says, like, Lola's free-to-play. Yeah, it's really free-to-play. And then it's like, how much have you spent? $3,000.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Let's think of all the free-to-play games you've spent money on.
Yeah.
Well, look, I had a lot of fun with Hawken yesterday.
I purposely spent money on Hawken. I didn't have to, and I know I would have earned it if I'd kept playing.
Oh, yeah, we know.
But I wanted to reward the developer.
Reward?
I wanted to reward the developer.
Hey, yeah. There's nothing wrong. I'm not passing any judgment here. I'm just saying free to play.
Which you do without even playing the game, apparently, for 500 of these developers.
Hey, by the way, just start going to these free to play games and buying a gun and never playing, by the way. That's pretty much what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I try to, when I play a free-to-play game, I'm just like, you know, the real game here is to see how much of this I can pay and how far can I get without spending any money.
Yeah. Which you did for Smite about 200 hours worth, right?
Yeah, and I've got a lot invested in that account. Like, I've got gods leveled up and skins and all that stuff, but, you know, I did a bunch of their affiliated marketing bullshit, so they made money off of me. Yeah.
Like 50 cents.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, I don't know, dude. I don't know. But I guess it's worth mentioning one other game I did play. I don't know why I bought this one. It was $7.50, and I was just like on the fence, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll check it out. 10-Second Ninja. And this game was surprisingly fun.
My girlfriend calls me.
Hey-o. Right.
But you don't have a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's true.
Wah, wah.
No. That's what the prostitutes call me. Because I don't pay. I take 10 seconds and I'm gone.
Even if you only spend $20, man, you're getting like $8,000 an hour. You. All right, 10 second ninja.
All right, so 10 second ninja. You have, it's like, imagine a Super Meat Boy level. Well, it's like an action platformer. There's Nazi robots.
Wait, should I stop thinking about Super Meat Boy?
Yeah, but scratch Super Meat Boy. Okay. Let's not use analogy.
That's not good, because I had that in my head, and he said no.
Let's not use other games to describe games, you know, like Metroidvania, or, I don't know. Anyway.
I think you should. What else are you going to base it on?
Sure. Okay. Super Mario is like hot dogs. They have called this a Metroidvania game. It's an action platformer, so you've got a level, and there's a bunch of Nazi robots on this level.
Naturally.
Fuckers.
Obviously.
Didn't we talk about this?
Yeah, fuck them.
And oh, Nazi zombies.
Nazi zombies.
This is Nazi robots. Okay.
So this is Nazi robots. They're just combining all the most used enemies into one.
Gotcha.
So you've got to... and, of course, their boss is Robot Hitler, so he's the boss fights where you have to fight him. But so you have 10 seconds, and you've got to kill all these these Nazi robots within 10 seconds.
Whoa.
And if you do it... you get 1, 2, or 3 stars depending on how fast you do it. And you have to get a certain amount of stars in one level to be able to move on to the next level or the next world.
So the Angry Birds mentality where you have to get a certain amount of stars.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But the way that it's similar to Super Meat Boy is that you learn through repetition, and you really start, like, you'll figure out how to kill these guys in 10 seconds. And then you're like, okay, well, I've got to get 2 more stars to get to the next world. So let me see if I can get 3.
Do it better.
Yeah, do it better. And you start finding little spots where you can cut corners. It's like, well, if I jump to this platform and throw a shuriken while I'm jumping midair, and then immediately jump to the left corner, then I can save myself 0.4 seconds. Because it comes down to that. Like, it'll tell you when you beat the level, like, you were 0.06 seconds off from getting 2 stars instead of 1.
That's good.
It's a perfectionist game. Yeah. It's like one of those games.
Yeah.
Like, there's several things. Like, I remember Gran Turismo, remember where you have to get the licenses?
Yeah, you have
to get, the perfect run to be able to do it, and you just keep doing those runs again and again to get the perfect run. That's what those are perfectionist games. Like, you're trying to shave just those milliseconds off your clock.
Yeah, and this is what a lot of these iPhone games take advantage of, is people being perfectionists, but you can't be perfect without spending money.
Mm-hmm.
And Candy Crush is that's the supreme example of that. But even Angry Birds now, where you can buy these power ups that wipe the screen or whatever.
What's happened to Angry Birds? I haven't played that since 2010.
Their Star Wars versions are really good. I like both of them a lot, but the second one's
I've never downloaded Angry Birds. I've avoided that like the plague.
I don't like things. It's a good game.
Angry Birds was great. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of spin-offs, and it sounds like they're changing it.
Yeah, the sound on Star Wars is really good.
I have watched people play the Star Wars one, and it does cool things with gravity and the Yoda with his lightsaber and stuff like that.
He's really tiny. He's the smallest bird you could have. So you shoot it, and then his lightsaber comes out, and he bounces around kind of like he does in...
Nice.
Yeah, so he's like... pew, 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 pew. He's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Like chaos, basically.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. But I'll have to let you guys play this one sometime, because it's actually surprisingly addictive.
Did you beat it?
No, I'm maybe not quite halfway through it yet, but I was playing this... Whenever I have some friends over, and they may not be real hardcore PC gamers, or even they're gamers, console gamers, but we kind of poke around my library till we find something. We'll try a game out, not feeling this, move on to the next one, and then we'll land on a game that really sticks, and okay, let's keep playing this for a while. And this was the game that we stuck on for a couple hours.
Question: you did the stick fighter, what's that one called?
One finger death punch.
Second ninja. If I had a couple bucks, which one would you recommend?
Well, one's twice the price as the other one.
Yeah, and that's a tough call. That really is. I like both of them, and I think they're equally priced. I think you'll get more play out of 10 Second Ninja. Although One Finger Death Punch, there's a lot to do in that game. Mm-hmm. But
you're amazing how much you can get out of 2-button control.
Yeah.
They squeezed out every drop.
But that one, is literally half the price.
So give me... I have a couple bucks. What am I buying?
Well, since I have One Finger Death Punch,
then you can get 10 Second Ninja.
For the viewers that only have a couple bucks,
I can't say it because I haven't played the other one.
I can't really just recommend
buy them all. Bobby said, buy them all
and not play them.
Buy both of them. Play 10 minutes and call it quits.
And how much is... Oh, you said Monaco is only a dollar, a couple of bucks, right?
I think it's retail 10 or 7 or something
that. But yeah, you'll see it down to 80% off and stuff. 75% off.
Okay.
Yeah. It's always on sale.
But so you're not going to give us an answer?
Out of those two, am I going to pick one? I'm going to go with 10 Second Ninja.
Okay.
Honestly, I think I'm having more fun with that, even though I really do like One Finger Death Punch. Both of those... really solid games.
And since everything we play on is on fucking Steam, we should talk about the Steam documentary that they put out. It's called Free to Play. Funny that we've been talking about that, too. But I haven't watched it.
I don't feel like it doesn't come out till the 19th.
Wait, so I saw a thing that said, saw an ad for Free to Play, and then I saw a $50 price tag.
It's free.
Yeah, it's just a movie, and it'll be
because I was laughing about free to play $50. Okay, what's going on?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Huh?
Or might have been an error with Steam that's been going to happen.
Yeah,
Cities in Motion 2 has been on sale for -$0.01 recently. I think they fixed that though.
Yeah,
but anyway, this documentary caught my eye because I was like, oh wow, Valve is making a documentary. That's got to be cool. And then I found out it was on Dota 2, following 3 players that play Dota 2, and kind of about. Esports and the rise of that. I was like, well, that could be interesting. I'm not huge into Dota 2, but I think it will be good because I watched the trailer. I saw like the little description of it, and it kind of follows these three players. And it, I think it's hopefully what I'm hoping is that it's going to focus kind of just on these guys' lives and what they had to like sacrifice and give up to be this good. Because when you get, there's a lot of pro gamers out there now. It's getting crazy, like how professional this is getting.
Yeah, but pro is like an exaggeration. How many of these people can actually live off that? You know, like,
well, I think that's what they talk about. One guy in the trailer was saying, just like, you know, if I don't win, then it's like all this is for nothing. You know, if I don't like win this pot, then like this is, you know, I've wasted like my life. Like, it's crazy. Like,
you're not getting an hourly rate to practice.
Yeah, and like
usually
he kind of touched on like some problems he was having at home and like that his mom was having with him. So I mean, that it kind of gives this a human appeal to it. You know, it really it touches on some stuff that I think some people aren't aware of. But, yeah, no, I do feel like a lot of people kind of overuse the term pro gamer. Like, whenever I see someone getting accused of, like, aimbots or something in any game, like, the retort is always like, oh, I used to play Call of Duty professional, man. I'm just that good. Like, I feel like everybody claims to be, like, like COD pro or CSGO pro or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you guys interested in this documentary? I mean, it comes out.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it for sure. The whole programming, I thought it was really funny that some governing body in the United States had to say that they're athletes. They're officially athletes. Did I bring this up before? Yeah. Because, there was no basically checkbox for them for taxes for professional gamers. And they have all these things that they need to write off, like flights and all this stuff. So there was no, so they're like, what category can we put in while they compete? And they fly around, so I guess they're athletes.
I think it helps with visas, like getting into the country for tournaments and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If they're athletes, then that's not really a loophole, but it's a way for them to get the country.
And another thing, too, is I predict the esports taking over regular sports as far as popularity eventually. This is way down the line, but I think one of the reasons is like you can see a top layer level guy and you could be like, man, I'm gonna be that guy one day if I really practice 10 hours a day, you know, I can get up to that level. You were just never born with the genetics Kobe Bryant was. You can never say I'm gonna be in the ABA. And even though most of these guys aren't going to aspire, they will aspire, they will not get there, the possibility is there. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that will ever overtake regular sports, but I do think we're getting close to the verge. I know that they have tried this before with some Magic the Gathering stuff, but I think we're getting closer to the point where we can actually see this stuff on TV. I think we're getting there, and I think the problem is, in my mind, is regular sports, there's the big four, really the big three. You know, you got baseball, football, and basketball, and sometimes hockey in the United States. So there's the big three or the big four for sports. You'll never get that in esports. You know, you have Dota 2 right now that has a $1 million tournament, but in 5 years it's going to be another game. You know, like, you've got to build new audience every time one of these new games come out.
Yeah.
And you just can't build that. Like, I'm a Niners fan and my dad's a Niners fan. You're not going to say, oh, I'm TSM for League of Legends, and my kids are going to be TSM fans. You know, it's like,
it doesn't pass on.
Yeah, because the lifespan of these, and you can be a MOBA fan, and maybe we're going to see MOBAs 40 years down the road, but the games are
going to change. Esports have taken over regular sports in Korea. Like, that's for sure. And then here,
how big was regular sports in Korea to begin with?
Well, there you go. 8.2 million people watched League of Legends last year, the big thing that they had.
Mm-hmm.
The World Series was like 11 million.
No, and
it's this is just the infancy.
And I agree.
The lasting power of the game.
And I agree.
It comes and goes, and it's not going to happen.
But there will always be a game.
I think right now, if they did a competitive gaming channel, if it was just competitive gaming, that would get views. It would.
Well, they do have one. MLG has their own channel.
They have their Twitch channel, but I'm talking about real TV. I'm talking about on television.
TV. Yeah, but who? I don't think the younger generation is watching.
That's not
much
TV anyway.
Yeah.
TV is not the standard anymore. This old guy at work just asked me. He's like, "How do you do no cable? Like, how do you do that?" And I was like, "Well, there's a long process, but I mean, that's He's like, yeah, why am I paying all this money? I think cable's on its way out, too.
And with the advent of Apple TV, they're talking about Xbox is doing their own.
Yes.
PlayStation is looking at their own. Like, once that happens, they're going to start getting these channels that you like to watch. You can pick individually from Apple TV or whatever the choice, and just get the six that you want and screw the rest. Like, why do I want to? I don't want to get the, I don't know, BET. Like, I'm not going to watch BET. Right, right. So why am I paying for that also?
Yeah, that's what they've been trying to do for a while. Get, like, channels a la carte, you know, just the ones that you want. And, like, I think some companies have tried to do it, but it hasn't worked out too well because you would end up paying a lot more. When you get the package, the bundle price, you get everything for a lot cheaper. But I don't know. For me, it's a new point because, like, I haven't had cable since, like...
None of us have cable, right? Because we got rid of our cable here.
Yeah.
You don't have cable, we're cable-free.
All my time's, taken up with video games anyway.
Do you even have Netflix or anything like that?
I use my girlfriend's account for Netflix. And, Amazon, you can't share that. But, yeah, and Prime. I use Netflix a lot.
How good is Prime? Because I have it, but I haven't used it for watching anything.
They've got some pretty good stuff on there. Prime's good, and you want to hang on to that because they're raising the price. So if you don't have Amazon Prime, get it now while it's $79 a year because it's going up to $99 a year.
So speaking of Valve and all that, there's more API. And we got into the API thing last week. I'm going to try to make it where it's important to gamers. Valve came out with their own, I guess it's a converter program that allows you to play games that require DirectX on a Steam machine. And so I know it's an extra layer of programming or a little bit more processing that needs to happen, so it might slow things down. Mm-hmm. But it's free. Anybody can use it. And maybe PC gaming won't be synonymous with Microsoft gaming in the near future. And that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
When you have one governing body that destroys the marketplace. So I thought, yet again... Valve, yay, good job, guys. I'm tired of saying it, but this is a good move. And so not only on Steam machines, but it's Linux-based, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on regular Linux computers, you can be able to use it as well.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
it is. So I'd imagine, there would be some overhead on that would cause it to slow down. But the fact that you can do that is really big. I mean, that's the biggest complaint that everyone has about gaming on a Linux machine or a Steam machine. I feel is just the limitation or the limit you have on the games that you can get.
It's called 2GL.
2GL?
T-O, capital T, lowercase L-O, and then capital G-L. You can just go download the client somewhere. I'm sure if you look for it, you'll be able to find it.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that does it for me. What about you guys?
That's it.
Yeah, I'm good. What are you guys... Anything you guys are going to focus on next week?
So I played some ESO last night, and it definitely looks like it's ready for launch. It's a lot cleaner. It just played better. It felt better. I don't know if I was in a better mood, but everything I liked about it better. The combat still feels like you're not even there. You know, it's very like, it's just a layer of combat on top of a pretty face. But it's cleaner. I didn't run into one bug. It's smooth. Whether or not it's a good game, I don't know. I got to a second area. This is probably the second area that I've seen in the whole game. It's where the Argonians are from. It's supposed to be swampy and like really... It didn't really feel... It wasn't dense at all. Like a swamp is supposed to be dense and like have a canopy. And this was like open. And I think they went with that because that's the way it's supposed to look, is that's what they were capable of at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like an open field with giant mushrooms in it.
Yeah.
And they had so much potential there to like really, really get some cool stuff in there. But I'm liking it more now for sure. And I'm going to play today probably or tomorrow.
It's hard to say why, but the game does feel a lot better. I still don't like the combat, though. I feel like the combat's mixed up. It can't decide if it wants to be an MMO or a hack and slash. It's just this weird, like, crossbreed of the two.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's more Skyrim now, where, like, while you're using your two-hander, your two-handing goes up, and that affects your overall level. as opposed to like you get this much XP for doing that or whatever. So that I like a lot, and that maybe that's why, you know, it goes back to the Skyrim thing. You're getting better at what you use, and that overall your level goes up. So
okay,
yep. All right,
Bobby, you trying anything this week?
This week I'm really trying to finish. I just want to be done with Assassin's Creed.
I haven't
played it in probably about a week, but I have just been like, I started that game so long ago. I beat South Park and like several other games in the interim, and just like now I'm just like, I'm 20 hours deep on this game. I just want it to be over, like enough already.
Yeah.
So I might just try to get that off the list, but there are a few. I really want to play this game, Xenoclash 2. Did you guys play the first
one? I played the first one, yeah.
It's kind of an older game. I really enjoyed the first one. Small, short, four-hour game, but I'll probably check that out.
What type of game is it?
A mech game, actually.
It's actually a... Xenoclash?
Am I thinking the wrong thing?
Xenowarriors?
Oh, Xenoclash. Okay, yeah. Xenoclash. That really really crazy,
really
art.
Weird, out there kind of artistic direction, and it's like first person physical combat where you're like swinging your fists and blocking and engaging in combat with enemies that way, and it just looks like this crazy drug trip. Like it's so weird.
It's a mushroom tip. If it was a video game, one of those things. Yeah.
So I want to check that out, and maybe Mark of the Ninja. Man, I
played it.
That's that stealth one, right? Yeah. Side-scrolling stealth ninja game?
Yeah. I've been going for these short games. I think I'm going to try to clean a few.
Why don't you play one of the 500 that you haven't played yet?
And those are some of the ones, I think. I haven't played Xenoclash 2. I played, like, an hour of Mark of the Ninja. Yeah, I got to start working through these.
This is before I had a controller, and Mark of the Ninja was not keyboard-friendly. So I've always thought about going back to it, but I'm not a stealth guy. Anyway.
All right, well, that's my playlist for the week. What about you, Chad?
I'm going to play more Hawken. I'm stoked to play it, and I spent my $10, goddammit.
I want my fucking money.
I want to get my money's worth.
For sure.
Nice. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. This has been DL Gaming. You can check us out on Steam. DL Gaming is the group. Website is dlgaming.net, and you can email us at dudes@dlgaming.net.
And again, every week, it's going up slowly but surely. If you like the podcast, tell a friend. I mean, that's the best thing you could do for us. We're not asking for money or anything like that. Just tell a friend. This is going to be on YouTube for the first time. So you're not going to have to look at us for the
whole time. But we're going to watch it first, and then we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see.
if it clears quality control, then yeah, you'll...
Which Bobby's got the quality control, probably never will.
And so, you know, if you check it out on YouTube, subscribe, whatever, all that stuff. The more people that know, the better it is for us.
Yep.
Cool. All right.
Awesome. Later. Thanks.
Later.